Welcome to the Table Podcast. I'm Nick. I'm here with Thomas. And we are kind of really officially starting Philippians because we started it, but we read through the whole thing this last Sunday. And you gave us a ton of background. And this week we're going to start picking it apart in smaller passages. So where are we going? We're in chapter 1. What verse?
Yeah, so I think for this first Sunday, actually in the text, we're going to do verses 1 through 10? No, 1 through 11. And seems like a large section. I think a lot of people would just start with verses 1 and 2, maybe. But I see verses 1 through 11 as being this like full just introduction from the Apostle Paul as he's writing this letter to the people in Philippi. Maybe we should read it before we
go for it.
Start. Okay. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
I think that's a good place to stop. The reason why is I think if you were to do just verses 1 and 2, I always hated writing those sermons. Because you're trying to pick apart a ton of stuff that basically everybody knows. Everybody knows who the servants are. Everybody knows what a deacon is, an overseer, an elder is. And then in verse 12, actually, I would say in chapter 1, for sure, like verse 12 is the primary concern that Paul has. Mm. So then you get to save that for this next week because he pushes in, I want you to know. So you've got the traditional greeting, leading with grace to peace, and then kind of a very personal approach to the people, which is really cool. So I think there's a lot in there, and there's a lot that can be said about that and talked about.
Yeah. As I'm kind of taking a first glance at this, some of the things that I want to ask and that we'll dive into on Sunday is, first of all, what does Paul pray for? Like, as he's praying for people, what does he say? And I think that we see that answered clearly in this. I also want to ask the question of, like, how does Paul remind people of their identity? And what are the ways in which he does that? So, just to kind of maybe whet the appetite, when we're looking at, like, what Paul prays for, we see him praying for grace and peace. And then it's almost hard to continue a list going because it's like this run-on sentence that he has as he's praying for love to keep on growing and knowledge and every kind of discernment so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ filled with the fruit of righteousness. Like, it's just this like big, like,
it's like a snowball just gaining traction, yeah, and getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
One of the things that I think is really interesting, I think pretty much everybody could cite verse 6. He who began a good work and you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. But what I really find interesting in that is verse 7. he's talking about how he feels that for them.
Mm.
And he's like, it's right for me to feel this way. And so often I think we take verse 6 and like, oh, God's going to complete this work. And we remove it from community.
Mm.
And it's like, no. Like, we can feel that for each other. We can see Christ moving. And because we love one another so well, like, be rejoicing in the sanctification of those around us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another thing to note from this, and I think that we'll see this right through the whole letter, is Paul's talking about two things here, I think. He's talking about, like, identity and fruit. Like, what is your identity, and then what kind of fruit am I praying for you? And both of those things are in and through Christ. So the Philippian church's identity is in and through Christ, and he's reminding them of that right from verse 1, as he's saying, to the saints in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fruit that he's asking for is brought about through Christ Jesus as well. In verse 11, I pray that you would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And so, kind of like we talked about last week, there's not a single, like, I actually looked through this letter, and you can barely find a sentence that doesn't mention Christ. And even if there is a sentence that doesn't include Christ, it's connected to a thought that is talking about Christ.
I literally just scanned my Bible real quick. It's like, where's the verse that doesn't talk about Christ?
Yeah.
No, I like that identity leading to fruit. And maybe this is all we need to say about the introduction. As Paul says, grace to you and peace from God. And he always starts with grace and then peace. And the reason why is, once you've experienced the grace of God, that's when you experience peace.
Mm.
And so once your identity is in Christ, because he's given you that gift, then you can have peace with your struggles, with what's going on in the world. And you have that fruit. You don't have to be anxious. You probably will still be, but you've got this identity of Christ that leads to a peaceful fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to tie that to other things that the Bible teaches about fruit isn't something that we can make. It's fruit is a byproduct of abiding in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we're attached to the true vine, that's when fruit comes about. So yeah, identity comes before fruit. I like that he establishes identity also by referring to God as our Father. I think that we can, that's so, like, in our vocabulary that it was just like, oh, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think we have to be careful not to just immediately press past that. Like, what would it actually mean for God to be our Father?
Mm.
That has huge implications for our identity. Like, if your dad is God, what does that mean? Who does that make you? Like,
yeah.
It makes you his son or his daughter.
Yeah, that's good, because what he does, it's interesting, because he starts with servants of Christ. So you serve the king. You're in the kingdom, but you're also in the family. And you have that. I think we tend to lean one way or the other, generally, is like, oh, you know, we're going to call God, like, Daddy God. You know, that was a big trend for a while. Yeah, it was a thing. And if any of you do that, no, you do it. That's fine. But then we forget, like, no, this is the kingdom. You're a servant. You're a slave, a doulos of Christ. And so you have rule, but also family.
Yeah, and you have both of those right there in that first two verses. Slaves of Christ, sons of Christ, or sons of the Father. Like, yeah, that's cool.
Maybe we should have just done the first two verses.
Well, that is one of the very first things that I wrote down in my notes was, what is a slave of Christ Jesus? Like, what does that mean? Because that definitely carries some weight, especially the specific translation slave. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was reading out of the Holman Christian Standard. My NIV says servants of Christ Jesus, which feels a little, like, more palatable.
Yeah.
But we can talk more about it on Sunday, I think. But, like, when the Bible uses the word slave, it's distinctly different than the word slave that
the connotation we have.
Yeah, like chattel slavery. Like, it's a completely different word almost. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good place to go. And I also, one of the first thoughts I have with whenever I read chapter one is like, I want to be the type of people that he's writing to.
Mm.
Where he's like, man, I'm so thankful for you. And because I love you so much, because you're so dedicated to the gospel and to one another. And so it's whenever I see that, I'm like, that's the kind of community that I want to foster.
Yeah. This,
like, could Paul write a letter to the table and be like, I'm so thankful for you.
Mm.
Yeah. Even though I'm in chains and you're going through trials, like, there's deep connection and love for one another.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like that corporate vision that we talked about on Sunday of like, what would it look like to be a church that is, it's formed by the gospel in such a way that we can be that. And then, like, yeah, to your point, I look at this and I'm like, I want to be the kind of guy that can, like, write a letter like this. Like, to be an old man that when he opens his mouth, bitterness doesn't come out. Like, this comes out.
Mm.
Just thanksgiving and praise and love for other people. That's, like, a vision for, like, aging, I think. That's good.
Yeah, there's a lot of grumpy old men out there. Like, a lot. A lot of old, bitter Christians.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Beautiful. Okay. Man. Well, anything you want to throw in?
No. Excited to see everybody on Sunday. Dive in.
It's going
to
be good. We've got new floors at the church. So Thomas and I were there yesterday working hard. And then I went back today and finished with Pastor Adam at Friends. I don't know why I'm telling you any of this, but now you know.
Now you know. Do we know yet what we're eating on Sunday?
No, I don't plan that far ahead. I should.
Nice.
But I'll come up with something.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. Maybe we'll do some barbecue chicken.
Oh, that's good.
Some barbecue chicken thighs.
Mm-hmm.
So good. All right. Thanks for listening to The Table, and we'll see you guys on Sunday.